There's a common saying in recovery, which is, if you're hysterical, it's historical. What that often means is you're being triggered in the present moment by some kind of trauma from the past, which gets stored in your body and in your psyche. And as they say in Y12SR, or Yoga for 12-Step Recovery, the issues are in our tissues. Hi, I'm Barb Nangle. I want to welcome you to my podcast, Fragmented to Whole, Life Lessons from 12-Step Recovery, where I help people heal their emotional, psychological, and spiritual wounds and make deep, lasting changes in their lives. I'm the founder and CEO of Higher Power Coaching and Consulting. I'm a boundaries coach who specializes in helping women who are focused on what others are thinking and doing and neglect themselves in the process. And I have coached hundreds of people on how to build healthy boundaries using my exclusive Build framework. On this podcast, I share my experience, strength, and hope from recovery. I don't support or endorse any particular 12-step recovery fellowship, and I don't claim to speak for any particular 12-step fellowship. I also don't believe that 12-step recovery is the only way to recover. You might need additional help. I'm an avid beachcomber who collects sea glass, shells, wood, and stones. I am a formerly closeted fan of the Hallmark Channel, especially the Christmas movies. Hello, Christmas in July. I wear fingerless gloves from September to June because my hands are always cold, so I have about 15 pairs. And I get a huge kick out of counting how many days, weeks, and months there are until my birthday or Christmas at completely random times of the year. My hope is that you'll find my words concretely helpful in improving your life, whether you're in recovery or not. If you like what you've heard on this episode, please screenshot it and share it on your social media and tag me at Higher Power Coaching. This is episode 239, Little T versus Big T Trauma, what they are and why they matter to your mental health and recovery. Our culture is becoming more and more aware and informed of trauma. Now, keep in mind that I am a layperson and not a clinical psychologist or a medical doctor, but that doesn't mean that my perspective isn't valid, however. Most people, when they hear the word trauma, assume that it means someone had a blunt incident, like they were in a hurricane, they were raped in a fire or a war zone. And those absolutely do cause trauma. Those are what I'm referring to as big T trauma. However, that's not the only kind of trauma there is. There's also relational trauma, which happens over time, typically in the context of a relationship, which is why it's called relational trauma. And this is what I'm referring to as little T trauma. And that's the kind of trauma that I experienced. It's the kind of trauma that comes from growing up in a dysfunctional family, but it can also be the result of adult relationships, such as a particularly abusive romantic relationship or a toxic work situation. The way that I think about my own trauma is that it was the result of a continual sort of drip, drip, drip of emotional invalidation. That is, I got the message, don't have those feelings, don't express those feelings, your feelings are invalid. So here is an example from yesterday. I was in a public place and I saw this pretty large dad carrying his little girl in a really awkward position. Like, I don't know if he was holding her by her leg or whatever it was. She was probably three, so she was really small. And when he put her down, she said, "You hurt me." And he said, "No." And she said, "You hurt me." And he said, "No," again. And she said it again. And he said, "You're not hurt." And she said, "Yes, I am." He was invalidating her feelings, telling her, "Those are not your feelings. You're wrong about what you're feeling." What this made me think of when I was little is one thing that my dad would do is he would hold me on the couch and tickle me against my will with his big, huge man fingers on my little tiny girl ribs. And it really hurt, but it also kind of tickled. So when I would say, "It hurts, it hurts, it hurts," he would say, "No, it doesn't. And I would be like, yes, it does. And then he would say, then why are you laughing? And I'd say, I'm laughing because it tickles and it hurts. And he acted like it couldn't both tickle and hurt. And he wouldn't stop when I asked him to, which meant I wasn't sovereign over my own body. Him telling me, you are not in pain, when I was in pain, was emotionally invalidating me. He was saying, your emotions are not valid. You don't know what you're feeling. Now that is crazy making. Here I was having an internal experience, yet my caregiver, my authority figure, was saying, no, you are not having the experience you think you're having. I remember one time in particular when he did this, I was able to break free of him. And I ran to the bathroom and I shut the door and locked it. And I wouldn't open the door until my mom promised that he would stop. So all of this is something that I remember that my father did. Now imagine how many things over the 18 years of my childhood that happened that I don't remember. I got the message that I was not in charge of what to believe about myself and my own experience. In other words, my perception of reality was wrong. I was wrong and didn't get to feel what I thought I was feeling. Another way we talk about this little t trauma is that it's the result of unmet needs. As a human, we need our experiences to be validated by the humans around us. We need to feel safe, cared for, protected, and nurtured by our caregivers. When those things don't happen repeatedly, it causes trauma. Language that really worked for me to help me understand and really comprehend and internalize that I had trauma was when I came to understand that trauma can result from the absence of good things happening, which is another way of saying unmet needs. That's when I got the message that trauma results from the absence of good things happening. And I was like, okay, I guess this thing did happen to me. I guess that I have trauma. Now, mind you, I also had some big T trauma at the ages of 17 and 18 when my father tried to strangle me. The first time it happened was in the beginning of December of my senior year in high school. I was 17. And that night, I moved out of the house as a result of it. And I felt like I was plucked out of my life and just dropped into someone else's life. So the strangling itself was, of course, traumatic, but also the feeling of being plucked out of my life and just plopped into someone else's life was also traumatic. And then it happened again in April of my senior year, two times in one day. I was 18 by this time, and he tried to strangle me again. And again, I moved out of the house and lived with a friend. And again, I felt like I'd been plucked out of my life and then plopped into someone else's life. So those were big T trauma. But what's interesting is I didn't even understand until I was in my late 20s that that was abuse. I thought I deserved it, and I thought my father was justified in doing it. I had to be told by a therapist that that was abuse, and that even if something happens just one time, it's still abuse. When I got into ACA, I dismissed those incidents as qualifying me for adult children of alcoholics and dysfunctional families, and my rationale was this. Well, I was 17. I was almost fully grown. It didn't happen in childhood. So I dismissed those incidents as qualifying as trauma. This is a perfect example of being in denial about family dysfunction. When you think your father strangling you is not abusive and that it's justified, that is denial. When you don't think that those kinds of things qualify you for a trauma recovery program, that is denial. Now, the reason that I wanted to share about this distinction between little t and big T trauma and just trauma in general, is that there are a ton of walking wounded people out there, especially people in recovery. And because they only know about big T trauma and they don't remember anything like that happening to them, they assume, I am not someone who has trauma. So when they learn about little T trauma, they might start to realize, oh, like me, I actually have trauma. So there are so many walking wounded people who have no fucking idea they're suffering from trauma. And I can tell you, I have met many from other recovery programs who have been sober or abstinent or drug free, et cetera, for decades. And yet their lives are still a fucking mess. They're just not physically acting out on their addiction. For many of them, trauma is the underlying issue, but they have no idea they have trauma. There's a common saying in recovery, which is, if you're hysterical, it's historical. What that often means is you're being triggered in the present moment by some kind of trauma from the past, which gets stored in your body and in your psyche. And as they say in Y12SR, or Yoga for 12-Step Recovery, the issues are in our tissues. If you're involved in a situation that you later realize that your reaction to the situation was way out of proportion to what was happening in the moment, chances are that it was triggering you because of some kind of trauma from the past. It reminded you on a cellular level of something in the past. The way that I think of it is this: when you have trauma, it's like you have this gaping wound. And if a breeze just blows by this gaping wound, it inflames it. For most adult children, our core wound is abandonment, mostly because of emotional abandonment, though, of course, it can also be from our parents, our caregivers abandoning us, literally, either through dying or divorce or some other form of leaving us. But it's more commonly emotional abandonment, which is what happens when you are emotionally invalidated, like I described about myself earlier. If you're emotionally abandoned and you get even a hint that someone is going to leave you, that there's a potential for abandonment, your reaction can be way out of proportion because it's the core abandonment wound that is being inflamed. It's not the current situation. So that's how it can come to be that you've been dating someone for a very brief period of time and they break up with you, you react as if it was someone you had been dating for years. This kind of unidentified trauma can be why so many people in recovery repeatedly relapse. They have no idea that trauma is their underlying problem. And if they dealt with the trauma, they'd have a greater chance of staying sober. I personally have met so many people who have come into ACA from after decades in other recovery programs who start doing trauma recovery in ACA, which includes looking at the patterns of family dysfunction, and they realize, oh, this is the shit right here. This is why I ate or why I drank or I drugged or I gambled or whatever. This is my core issue. Now, don't get me wrong, we need all those other recovery programs, of course, because millions of lives and families have been saved by them. But one of the things we do in ACA that is not done in other recovery programs is we look at our family system. When I did the steps in OA, I wasn't allowed to look at anybody else around me. It was all about me being selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, etc. And those things were true, but there was a lot more to the picture than that. In ACA, we're very clear. You are a product of your environment. And here's how we handle that in ACA. Instead of taking a searching and fearless moral inventory, we take a searching and blameless inventory of the family. We're trying to get down to causes and conditions, and we can't do that without looking at the family system. In step four in OA, I looked for what was my part in things. What did I do? Whereas in ACA, we look at what happened to me. Now, we can still get at what we did by way of what happened to me, And I'll give you an example from my life. That's probably the easiest one to understand. What happened to me was that I grew up in a family that engaged in indirect communication. You did not go to the person that you had difficulty with. You talked to everybody around them. And by the way, you didn't talk about the problem and try to solve it. You talked about the person, and they were the problem. So this was a communication pattern laid down in my family before I was born, which means I had zero hope of growing up in that family knowing how to directly communicate with others, or that was even a thing. It just wasn't an option for me. So what I did was I gossiped. I talked negatively about my boss behind her back for 19 motherfucking years and didn't even realize that that was gossip. And I'm not stupid. Yet I didn't know that was gossip, even though it's the fucking definition of gossip that you talk negatively behind someone's back, especially repeatedly. I felt justified in my behavior because it was a pattern I learned in my family, and I was focused on problems, not solutions, which is what we did in my family. Now, luckily for me, I did the 12 steps in ACA first and saw, oh, this pattern of gossip came from somewhere. I think if I had done the 12 steps in OA first, I would have been riddled with guilt and shame, thinking, oh my God, I'm a piece of shit because I gossip. Now, either way, whether I'm a product of my environment or I'm a piece of shit, I still got to stop gossiping. But if I understand I'm a product of my environment, and there's no way I could have grown up in that family and not gossip, that takes a lot of the sting away from it. It's not you're a horrible person and you're defective and that's why you gossip. It's that you have this really terrible behavior pattern, which came from growing up in a dysfunctional family and that you were taught, and you need to stop. But it's easier to tackle something we see as a learned behavior pattern passed down through generations of dysfunction as opposed to you're a piece of shit, stop being a piece of shit. And I know that I'm really sort of exaggerating. That's not what we say in 12-step recovery, but that's how many people who have been traumatized hear the term defects of character. They hear it as you're defective. There's something wrong with you and you're not fixable. Now, I mentioned at the very beginning that trauma is becoming more and more out there in the culture. And there are more and more trauma-informed programs cropping up. And a lot of this has to do with something that's called ACEs, or the ACE study. And ACE stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. This is a longitudinal study, meaning it was done by following people over years to see the effects of their adverse childhood experiences over a long period of time. And it looks at the health and mental health effects on people with varying degrees of adverse childhood experiences. The study is pretty profound in that it shows that all kinds of mental and physical health outcomes are far worse for those who have higher incidence of adverse childhood experiences, including things like cancer and diabetes. So I'll put links in the show notes so you can take the ACE quiz. You can also learn more about it. And if you feel like you need to get some help with trauma, I highly recommend you find a trauma-informed therapist, hopefully through a recommendation from someone who has been their patient. If not, in the ACA fellowship text, which we call the Big Red Book, there are some great recommendations for how to find the right therapist. And I'm going to also put a link in the show notes to the ACA fellowship in case you'd like to look into that. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It has been an absolute fucking game changer for me. If you're ready to finally have an enjoyable, relaxing summer doing things you really want to do, instead of always following other people's agendas, I have some openings for private clients right now. If you are really tired of saying yes to things you really don't want to do and being overly accommodating to others, this is for you. It's time to start accommodating yourself. Maybe you're dissatisfied with your relationships and overwhelmed with all kinds of difficult feelings because of your interactions with others. If you'd like to get your life in order before the summer hits, go to barbchat.net and sign up for a free 30-minute call with me about my private coaching so we can get started right away. That way, you'll be done by summer. This is for people who are finally ready to make deep, lasting changes in their relationship patterns, including their relationships with themselves, their partners, family, friends, and colleagues. Go to barbchat.net. If you like this podcast, and I'm guessing you did, or you wouldn't still be listening, then you're gonna love the other things I have to offer. If you'd love pre-released podcast scripts and episodes before anyone else gets them, or if you'd love access to content from my private vault that I developed exclusively for my private clients, which is like having a work session with me without me actually being there, go to patreon.com/higherpowercoaching. There are three tiers ranging from as low as $4 up to $24 a month. You'll also love my weekly newsletter, Friday Fragments, which has content very similar to the podcast. You can check it out at fridayfragments.news. That's fridayfragments.news. Please like and subscribe to my podcast on your favorite podcast outlet. I'd also love it if you'd leave a review, which you can do either in the show notes or on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people find my podcast so they can get the benefits you've gotten from listening. If someone came to mind when you listened to this particular episode, please share it with them. And my favorite place to hang out on social media is Instagram. I'm at Higher Power Coaching. Please DM me there. I'd love to hear what you got from this episode. I run group and private coaching programs on building healthy boundaries. Whether you need help with boundaries in your personal, professional, or romantic life, I can help. Head on over to barbchat.net, where you can hop onto my calendar for a free 30-minute Better Boundaries consultation. My ideal client is someone who is ripe for change. If that's you, I would love to work with you. My goal with all my work is to help you make lasting changes in your life like I've made deep, lasting changes in my life. Remember, it's never too late to recover. No one is beyond hope, and healing is possible. Thanks for listening.